You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
That's right, you are Locked On Broncos, and it is time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, part of Scout Media, and with me is my co-host Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst. Luke, how are you today? You ready to deep dive on some more Vance Joseph talk?
Absolutely. It is day two, I guess, now of the Vance Joseph regime here in Denver. And, you know, there's more talk to go around than ever.
Yep, it's a new era in Denver, and we're excited to talk about it. And we're committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on your Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week. We're not 100% sure if we're going to maintain that throughout the offseason, but we're going to try really hard to do so. And we're not here to just report the news. We're here to give you a deep dive on your favorite team. So share the episodes on social media, retweet it on Twitter, share it on Facebook, and follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Take a quick second, go find the account, at Locked On Broncos, click the follow button. The home of Locked On Broncos, of course, is Audioboom, but make sure to also subscribe on iTunes, and if you're an Android user, you want to check out Stitcher, a podcast app I use quite a bit. Another season's in the books. We got a new head coach, a coaching tree to fill out, free agency, the draft. You're not going to want to miss a single episode. Now, Vance Joseph was introduced on Thursday as the Denver Broncos' 16th head coach. He started with some prepared remarks, of course, before moving on to take some questions. And that's when things really, I thought, got interesting. And what I found to be the most compelling was his vision for the Broncos offense. I mean, we all know, you know, the vagaries of the Broncos offense in 2016. And that's going to be priority number one, fixing the offense. I mean, they're going to have to figure out the quarterback position. And we're going to talk more about that particular issue a little bit later. But that's the top priority, is turning the ship around offensively. And here's what Joseph had to say when asked about his vision for the offense.
I want an offense that's attacking. You know, being a defensive guy my entire career in the league, 14 seasons, you know, when you play an offense that's attacking, you know, it kind of makes you, you know, be careful of your calls. You know, if an offense is kind of conservative, I love it, because I can be the attacker. But if offense is being attacking, you know, multiple personnel groups, multiple formations, that's what I want it to look like. You know, I want to score points, because points win. You know, obviously defense wins championships, but you have to score points. You know, and I want an offense with swagger. You know, I want an offense with up-tempo. You know, have a chance to score a lot of points.
Now, Luke, after such an impotent, you know, predictable offensive showing under Gary Kubiak for basically 2 years, what Joseph had to say there is music to my ears. Multiple personnel groupings, you know, different formations, tempo, swagger, attacking. These are hitting on all my receptors in my brain.
Right. Well, there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say, and there's more than one way to run an offense in the NFL. And Vance Joseph, in this kind of regard, is very much, you know, the younger generation of play callers and of coaches who like to run, you know, up-tempo offenses, sometimes no huddle, but very much up-tempo, get to the line, make your calls, and kind of go from there. To me, I really like the personnel groups and formations. I mean, we saw it happen this past year in Denver, that it was pretty basic in terms of formations and personnel groups. Yep. You know, they had their 21 personnel when they brought out Janovich, the fullback, and ran with a tight end. You know, they had a couple 11 personnels where they're going to run with three wide receivers. I use in the sense of kind of go with it.
Sure.
But, you know, they didn't have that much kind of variance in terms of formations. They had empty sets a few times. But to me, what a formation can really be is it makes the defense think pre-snap is, okay, this defense, this offense, the way it's lined up, this is hard for me to read. This is not an easy thing for me to figure out. I've got two tight ends left and two wide receivers right. Okay, do we shift? You know, is this a zone defense where we're just going to shift and bump out along with that? Or is this a man defense where you're going to have the two cornerbacks on the right now against those two wide receivers? So, you know, it forces the defense to communicate. It forces them to talk. And that's really kind of something, is you got to make the defense think, and they're going to be a little bit slower to react once the ball is snapped.
Great stuff, and I agree. And, you know, that's one of the things that just felt like it was lacking from the Gary Kubiak offense, was a, you know, a variety in personnel groupings and different formations. Now, one of the things, too, I mean, let's face it, when you talk about an attacking offense, I mean, Gary Kubiak's version of that over the last 2 years was basically non-existent. I can think of a couple of games where the Broncos were explosive offensively through Kubiak's 32 games regular season games as a head coach. And I think the Broncos have the personnel to be explosive. You look at the skill positions, Luke, and even Joseph talked about this on Thursday. You know, two Pro Bowl wide receivers. You've got a Pro Bowl running back in C.J. Anderson. You got some exciting talent at tight end that you probably still need to develop a little bit further on down the line. But there's room there. Of course, you know, it comes back to the quarterback situation. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But a lot of those pieces are already in place, Luke, to be attacking, to be explosive and put up points.
Right. Well, they are in place, and you've got some guys who can be explosive for you and who've shown that they can make those explosive plays. Now the question is, do you have, you know, the line to protect, to block for those explosive plays? And I know, again, you know, I'm a young coach. I've definitely come up in this same kind of environment. To me, I love a good explosive guy out of the backfield. Ronnie Hillman kind of tried to be that guy, but he was never quite that guy in Denver. Man, if I'm looking in the draft right now, I know I said this a couple days ago, but Curtis Samuel out of Ohio State, he's a running back. He's a wide receiver. Give me this kid, man. He's explosive.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about him as we move closer to the draft. And you know what? Today, we're actually going to take some listener questions from Twitter. We'll start off with one that kind of has to do with who the next offensive coordinator of the Broncos will be. And first off, you know, let's set the table here. We know that the Broncos interviewed Mike McCoy on Thursday. That was one of the first orders of business following the Vance Joseph press conference. And then, of course, they plan to meet with Bill Musgrave. That was actually falsely reported. It's going to be Friday. Here's our question. It comes from @MileHighManiac. He says, quote, who's the best fit for offensive coordinator? Now, before Luke and I share our thoughts on the question, let's hear what Joseph had to say about what he's actually looking for in a new OC.
Well, I'll say this. You know, I've been on defense for 14 seasons, and every offense I face, what do you call it, West Coast numbers, it's very similar to me. So maybe I'm, you know, I don't know. But it looks the same to me every Sunday. Schematically, that depends. You know, I want a guy that fits the scheme to the players. You know, I want coordinators that put players first and scheme second. Okay, so if it doesn't fit our players, let's not do it. So, you know, my thought there, it's players first, scheme second.
Now, Joseph actually complimented Mike McCoy as a play caller later on in the presser when asked specifically about him. I think we've got to kind of look at this through the prism that Joseph laid out there. Which coach between McCoy and Musgrave has the best track record, Luke, of getting the most out of their players and molding the system to their personnel? I mean, you look at McCoy's transformation in 2011, going from the kind of Josh McDaniels base offense led by Kyle Orton to the Tim Tebow run-heavy read option that ended up, you know, helping to win the division. A year later, McCoy adapted once again to fit Peyton Manning's predilections. I mean, Musgrave's work as well as with Derek Carr over the last couple of years has been impressive, and there's no question he's gotten the most out of Oakland's young quarterback in a short period of time. But for me, I like McCoy for the gig for multiple reasons. But if we're viewing it through that prism Joseph just talked about, you know, tweaking a system to fit the personnel, I think he makes the most sense. What's your answer for Mile High Maniac, Luke?
Well, I've talked in the past on this show about the difference between a player coach and a scheme coach, and I think Vance Joseph really addressed that very well. I mean, coach talked about how players first, scheme second is the way he wants it to be. I mean, that's the way Mike McCoy has always coached, you know, is to be sure to get his guys in the right fit for their abilities and for their natural skills. And I think that is really kind of what you're looking for in this offense if you're going to slot him in there. Bill Musgrave, I think, has always kind of had some issue with figuring out how to use guys to their most, you know, successful abilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look a couple of years ago when he's in Minnesota and he has at that time, no idea. And I mean, most people still don't, but he had no idea how to use Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, is he a wide receiver? Is he a guy you can hand the ball off to? You know, what's going on there? He just never figured out a way to get him involved offensively, whereas Mike McCoy basically drew up an entire offense and simplified it for Tim Tebow to run. To me, that's your guy. That's the guy I want running this offense.
And I would agree. Our next question comes from at Joe Walston. He asks, quote, did you guys get any feeling about the defensive coordinator position from the Joseph Presser? Closed quote. Now, of course, Wade Phillips' future was one of the topics that Joseph addressed early on Thursday. As we know, Wade's contract is expiring here soon. Here's what Joseph said first, and then we'll try to kind of interpret it.
Well, I'm not sure. Wade's a free agent, you know, so he's free to go where he wants to go. That's a work in progress, obviously. You know, after this press conference, I'm going to deal with the staff issues. But, you know, I prefer not to call plays. You know, I want to be the head coach here. But if I have to, I will. You know, so that's something I can hold in my back pocket. But, you know, that's a work in progress going forward.
Now, listen, we've been trying to prepare you for the eventuality that Wade Phillips is going to be gone. And, you know, listening to Joseph there, reading his tonality, I'd be flat out shocked if the Broncos end up bringing Phillips back. It's likely going to be, either defensive backs coach Joe Woods, we talked a little bit about him this week, or linebackers coach Reggie Herring. Now, I know the Broncos are considering both coaches for defensive coordinator at this point. If I had to pick a front runner, though, it would be Joe Woods. And Luke, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Well, yeah, and I think what's kind of interesting there is Vance Joseph talking about play calling, which is kind of very separate from Gary Kubiak, who called the plays offensively. And here Joseph is saying, you know, I don't want to have to call plays. I want to delegate that to somebody else, but I'll take it if I have to. But I want it to be somebody else here. So for him to be seeking out a guy with the ability to call plays really to me shows that he's focused on the bigger picture and on delegating the issues and kind of focusing on the team as a whole, which I love. I do think that Joe Woods is the better fit. I like Reggie Herring. I like what he's done in the past with this defense and stepping in as the interim defensive coordinator for the game that Wade Phillips was out. But Joe Woods, I really love what he's done with the defensive backs. He's brought an edge of physicality, just a level of aggressiveness. To me, that's what you want translating to your defense. This is a defense that you're going to defend against the pass with either way. I think you're going to roll with Joe Woods in that kind of situation.
Now, hey, one of the benefits that we have at the Locked On Podcast Network is the opportunity to work closely with our advertising partners. We enjoy taking the time on our show to talk about these partners and to help them to reach new people. These are companies we believe in, and it's a powerful thing, and it's not something that we take lightly. We're always looking to grow these relationships. If you're listening to this show as a business owner, you'd like to reach the male demographic between the ages of 18 and 44 and kind of branch out, your company should be sponsoring this podcast because 98% of the Locked On Broncos listenership is male, 80% of which are between the ages of 18 to 44. Our rates are very reasonable. Podcasting right now is the new frontier. Feel free to reach out to us at lockedonbroncos@gmail.com and we can talk about it. Now, Luke, our next question comes from Malik G. He asks, quote, what's the positive or negative precedent nationally and in Denver of letting a coordinator go to keep a young, in quotes, star coach, close quote. Now, this question kind of piggybacks off our last one, and so, you know, it's kind of fitting. Now, Malik, I assume you're talking about Joe Woods here. I guess you could also be talking about Oakland's decision to let Bill Musgrave go to keep quarterbacks coach Todd Downing. You know, the precedent of letting an established coordinator go to keep a young star coach is nothing new. I mean, it happens almost every year around the NFL. And just like the NFL is a young man's game from a player perspective, so it goes for coaches more and more. And Wade Phillips, you know, he's soon to be 70 years old, and he wants to be the highest paid defensive coordinator in the NFL. You know, the Broncos aren't going to cave in, especially considering how stacked and deep they are on defense. I mean, you know, let's face it, as awesome as Wade is, and as he did make his mark here, I don't want to take anything away from him. We can't minimize the fact that he inherited one hell of a defense. And Joe Woods, you know, he's an up-and-comer. He has a great track record. As Luke talked about just a minute ago, coaching guys like Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, you know, T.J. Ward, Darian Stewart. I mean, honestly, Luke, if Woods gets the nod, I think I'll actually be more excited about the 2017 Broncos than I would be if Wade returns.
Well, see, for me, Wade just brings so much depth to this defense with his base of knowledge. I mean, this is a guy who's been running his own defense for decades, really, and he has that much experience to go with it. So I really kind of, to me, Coach Phillips brings a lot to this defense with just his sheer knowledge base. He's seen pretty much anything you can imagine offensively. So Joe Woods is a young coach. I really like him. He's a bright guy. But to me, the kind of the knowledge base right there is why Wade Phillips got brought in. I do think that Joe Woods definitely can develop, though, into a very impressive young defensive coordinator.
That's true. I mean, you look at Phillips' track record. I mean, how many guys can step in and say, you know, yeah, I'm here to coach Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, but, you know, I've also coached Bruce Smith. And, you know, his track record of coaching some of the, you know, guys that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame is certainly impressive. And he does bring that depth of knowledge, and that's a good point. And I think a lot of fans listening to this show right now would feel a heck of a lot better about the Vance Joseph hire, knowing that that depth of experience was still there with Wade Phillips on the sideline. Unfortunately, it's just not looking like it's going to go that way. But hey, anything's possible. Nothing has been decided yet, as far as we know. Now, finally, we're going to turn to at Nightman Sam, who asks, quote, how long is Vance Joseph's leash? Closed quote. And I think this is a great question. Thanks, Sam. If you're talking about Joseph's leash from a wins and losses perspective, I think he'll get 2 years minimum, unless the Broncos absolutely fall flat on their faces this season, go 4-12 or something like that. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, most of the pieces are in place. But the flip side to that coin is this isn't a team that's going to compete for another world championship without a difference maker at quarterback. You know, the Broncos need clarity at the most important position. And as a matter of fact, Vance Joseph spoke to that issue on Thursday.
Yeah, I watched Trevor. Obviously, he's got more experience. You know, I mean, he had a fine year. I watched the kid. He's smart. He's fast with the ball. You know, he makes little error with the football. That's important. You know, obviously, Paxton's a big, strong guy with a big arm. So it's two different guys. You know, but they're both young. They're both capable. And obviously, it's gonna be an open competition. You know, and that's gonna make both guys better. You know, so whoever's the best for our team next year, that's who's going to play.
Now, to answer Sam's question, I think Joseph's got a couple years, a couple year window, if you will. But it's going to be a pressure cooker situation. He's embracing the expectations, though, Luke. But I think there still needs to be, a lot remains to be determined in terms of the quarterback position. And from what he's saying there, it's going to be an open competition.
Well, I think competition is important, and I think any new coach should come in with kind of the idea of competition at every position. In terms of his overall leash, I think it is interesting to note that most NFL head coaches get themselves a five-year contract when they sign on. Vance Joseph got a four-year deal, which, you know, you can read into
good
that
point
what you will. I do think that Denver's kind of looking for this to just kind of be a restock instead of a rebuild, to kind of paraphrase what Vance Joseph said. So I think Coach Joseph, I think he's going to get at least 2 years, but I really do think he needs to identify a quarterback of the future and identify him quickly, because if recent years in the NFL have shown, it's that even if you have a guy who's your guy for the future, that's no guarantee of job security. And if you're flip-flopping between the Blaine Gabberts and Colin Kaepernicks of the world, then you're probably not long for the NFL.
Right. And again, I mean, He's got to say certain things. I mean, he's not going to step in after a guy like Trevor Siemian started, 14 games this past year and left with a winning record as a starter. He's not going to say, oh, yeah, we're going with Paxton Lynch. I mean, he's going to say it's going to be an open competition. But clearly, and I know this from my own sources, one of the primary focuses of this coaching search was finding a guy whose plan made sense to the Broncos brain trust in terms of maximizing Paxton Lynch. He's a big, you know, athletic, dynamic quarterback. He's got great arm talent that just needs some TLC, and he needs an offensive coordinator who can tweak an offense around him instead of, you know, a square peg, round hole like we saw from Gary Kubiak last year. So I think the focus, Luke, is going to be on, you know, developing Lynch. You're going to see that a lot more. And that's why it's even more exciting to think that a guy like Mike McCoy, who has a range of working with quarterbacks that goes from Kyle Orton to Tim Tebow to Peyton Manning to Phillip Rivers, could make a big impact on this young kid.
Right. And well, when you got a guy who can maximize so many different talents and skill sets, you really kind of get excited for what he can do in Denver. And I mean, that year with Tebow, with Orton, was a year when he kind of got so many guys involved in the offense. If you think back to it, I mean, you had young guys like, I know that this is going to be a blast from the past for some people, but Jeremiah Johnson was a running back that year. He was lining up at wide receiver on a couple of plays. Lance Ball looked decent.
Daniel Fells.
You know, this is a guy who knows how to get the most out of his offense. And, you know, to wit, Ryan Clady looked great that year. Hasn't looked very good since. Granted, he's been dealing with injuries. You know, Orlando Franklin looked like a serviceable right tackle. You know, this was an offense that maximized so many different pieces instead of the scheme itself.
Yeah, and you think of that offensive line that year, J.D. Walton at center, Chris Cooper spent some time at right guard.
Russ Hochstein, yep.
You had, I believe, if I'm recalling correctly, Zane Beadles at left guard.
Correct.
You know, and most of those guys were unproven. I mean, when Elway stepped into that thing, that was, let's not forget, that was his first year as the GM slash, well, he wasn't actually quite GM yet. He still had Brian Zanders. He was vice president of football operations only at that point. But, you know, when he stepped in, it was into very much a team devoid of talent at many key positions and a lot of unproven talent. And nowhere was that more apparent than on the offensive line. And you had, as you say, you know, one of his first picks, Orlando Franklin, at right tackle, and then the cornerstone was Clady. But, you know, what McCoy was able to get from, I mean, the Broncos finished that year as the number one rushing offense in the NFL. That's impressive, and that's the type of approach, and that happened on a dime. I mean, that's what we got to remember, is the Broncos did not start out 2011 as a ground and pound team, but they finished at the top of the NFL in rushing. That type of approach is something, I think, Luke, that could really also be very refreshing and very revitalizing for these guys who have been much maligned and, frankly, not very well developed on the Broncos O-line.
Yeah, and I was actually talking about the offensive line, ironically, just a little bit earlier tonight with Eric Trickle over on the Draft Rehab kind of video cast that he and I do scouting the draft. And that what really was, you know, a very good offensive line for who it was. I mean, you had no Sean Moreno, who was injured, but it was really Willis McGahee kind of carrying the majority of that line, the majority of that run game behind the line. So I think I'm quite honestly, I would be very excited to see a Mike McCoy led offense just based on what he can do to maximize the skill sets he has.
And that's true. Willis McGahee went to the Pro Bowl that year, had a 1,000-yard season, and he was kind of, you know, he and Tim Tebow basically represented the Broncos' offense in terms of, you know, production and scoring points. But, hey, it's exciting times in Broncos country, and we look forward to covering the coaching hires in the days ahead. You know, we're also looking forward to the free agency talk, draft talk especially. Go check out what Luke's doing. He's working with Eric Trickle, one of, Mile High Huddle's NFL draft analyst, doing the draft rehab, breaking down players in this upcoming draft. Find Luke on Twitter, of course, at Luke Polglaze. Also, you'll want to find his YouTube account because it's actually for those draft nerds out there listening. You don't want to miss that. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos, myself on Twitter at Chad N. Jensen. We want to hear from you. Hit us up. Thanks for the engagement today. We love the questions on the mailbag. Check out the other killer podcasts on the network. You got Locked On NFL Draft, Locked On NFL, and don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you next week.
Mile High Huddle.